Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us, truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. Amen. This evening, we're beginning a new series entitled The God of Abraham. Over the coming Sunday evenings, we're going to be looking at some of the key events in the life of Abraham. I know that we haven't, as you've heard from our reading this evening, we haven't quite reached the stage of him being Abraham yet, but maybe you'll excuse me if I refer to him as Abraham throughout this evening. It might be that other preachers do the same over coming Sunday evenings. In brief, there are a couple of reasons for embarking on this series today towards the beginning of a brand new year, and in fact, a brand new decade. The first could probably go without saying, but just to remind you that 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say this: all scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That translation, I think it's the NIV, didn't have the word admonishing, which I quite like, but you can fit it in there in the list if you'd like. Admonishing sounds very important. A remarkable gift of God's grace is that wherever we turn in this gift, in this book, whichever page we open with a heart and a mind receptive to the Holy Spirit, we can expect God to speak. We can expect to be taught. We can expect to be rebuked. We can expect to be corrected and trained in righteousness. We, as the people of God, can expect to be equipped for every good work. So in a simple sense, why this? Why these stories of Abraham? Well, not wanting to sound flippant, but they're as good as any other for how God might want to speak to us over the coming weeks. But more specifically than that, this year ahead, as we've already been thinking about, and maybe you've been looking at plans as we've gathered this evening, this year ahead presents a time of significant change within this church, maybe within the very fabric of our walls. We will see and we pray for change, but also within this nation, within the world, within God's world. As we think about change and as we prepare ourselves for change, it's important to acknowledge our roots. I don't know how many of you picked up the sermon series booklet that alerts you as to what might be coming up over the coming weeks, but if you have and if you've read it, you may see the words from the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3. He says this: understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. And he quotes, all nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. To look at the story of Abraham, to look at the events of Abraham's life, to look at the interactions between God and Abraham is to delve into our own family history. This reminds me a little bit of the television program, Who Do You Think You Are? I don't know if anybody's seen it, but if you haven't or if you have seen it, perhaps it's merged into all of those other television programs you've been watching. On this program, public figures or celebrities are taken on a journey of coming to know more of their family history, of their background, their ancestry, where they're from, what parts of the world, what kings perhaps they were related to in the very distant past. It's often a journey that those who have been walked on it find deeply moving. and through which they gain a greater understanding of themselves. And from time to time, you also hear them make commitments, having learnt what they've learnt about their family history, to live in new ways, with new attitudes, and with new outlooks. So as we look into the story of Abraham, Abraham's encounters with God, we too are being taken on the journey to ask, who do we think we are? Through belief in Jesus Christ, we find that we are included in God's covenant people, and that Abraham's story becomes our story. So on to the passage that we've read, or that Nick read for us this evening. And the title for this sermon in particular is An Incredible Call. An Incredible Call. This evening I want us to look at just four aspects of this call. Four different aspects of the incredible call to Abraham, in the understanding that his story is our story. So firstly, Abraham is called to be a follower. We see in verse 1 of our passage, God says to Abraham, or the Lord says to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. God says, go from your country. Go from your people to the land which I will show you. Abraham is called not to remain in the place that he is called home, to go from that place, but not to go being guided by his own intuition or his own desires or his common sense or his own wisdom, but to go under the authority and the direction of God. We see in this call to Abraham a foreshadowing or a picture of the way in which Jesus calls each of his followers, each of his disciples. Leave what you're doing. Leave the lifestyle and the ways which you've grown accustomed to. Leave them. Come and follow me. Now, it might not be that we are each called to physically relocate or to literally dwell in tents, but we must be ready to respond to God's call day by day, moment by moment. An encounter with Jesus, a genuine encounter with Jesus, and an offering of our lives to him, a coming under his lordship, means that we, like our father of faith, are called to be followers, moment by moment, day by day. The second call, and we're not quite going in sequence in the passage, so if you think I've jumped a lot of good stuff, we will come back to some of it. But the second call to Abraham is to be a father. That's a subject that I know we will return to, as it's a theme that winds through all of Abraham's story. But it's hinted at already numerous times in our passage this evening. In verse 7, we see that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. To your offspring. Abraham is called to be a father. And while Abraham's fatherhood of the people of God is unique, and while I suspect that not many of us, maybe none of us, are called to be fathers of great nations in this building this evening, we are all called, we all find ourselves under that call of Abraham, to be sisters and to be brothers within the family, to be committed to the growth of that family, to be committed to one another. Also, as in any earthly family, within this supernatural family born of faith, we're each called to take up specific roles to see that family strengthened, to see that family grow. There is an opportunity to disciple, to nurture, to come under the wisdom and the authority of others, to direct others who aren't as far along in the journey of faith. We are called to be family. The revelation that we're all one family under God must surely change the way that we live alongside one another. Not a group of individuals all happening to be in the same place, but brothers and sisters, all children of Abraham, but even more importantly, all children of God. Each of us has a role to play within that. None of us are called to be passive bystanders or onlookers in family life. And my prayer is that each one of us, even as this year unfolds ahead of us, each one of us would discover afresh the parts that we are being called to see this family, not just the family of Christ Church Beckenham, but the family of all believers worldwide, is strengthened and built up and prepared for every good work that God is laying before us. As Abraham is called to be a father, we are called to be a family. Thirdly, Abraham is called to be blessed. Now, for us, this might seem a little bit uncomfortable. We often like to think about being blessings. But we, like Abraham, are called to be recipients of the blessings of God. God says this to Abraham, I will make you a great nation and will bless you and make your name great. Blessing is such a wonderful word, such a rich word, such a full word, a word that we could spend hours or multiple sermons unpacking. And in fact, I think it was just before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, that Rob, you preached a sermon specifically on blessing. I suspect it might not be available online, but if you weren't here and would like to know more about it, do talk to Rob about it, because it was a wonderful picture of what it means to be blessed. We need to overcome our discomfort with what it might mean to be recipients of blessing. Perhaps a helpful definition, a working definition for what it is to be blessed might be something like this: to receive goodness from God. To receive goodness from God, the God who loves to pour out good gifts, to give good gifts to his children. To be blessed is to receive those good gifts. And to receive the ultimate gift of his presence with us. That goes somewhere towards unpacking the biblical picture of blessing. And to receive that gift, we need to posture ourselves in a certain way. I sometimes find that my physical posture can come to be matched by my spiritual or my heart or my mind's posture. And sometimes in prayer, I'll find myself praying with my hands open. Some of you might have looked on and seen others doing that and thought, what are they doing? You know, are they trying to counter sweaty palms? But the reality is that posturing ourselves in that way is just a physical sign of saying, God, I acknowledge that you are the Father who longs to give good gifts. And in this place, I am expectant and I am ready to receive the good gifts that you have for me. I think all too often we're shy about speaking about being recipients of blessing because parts of the church have altered this teaching to make it all about material blessing, to make it all about naming it and claiming it, saying what we want and in faith receiving it. The reality is that to posture ourselves to blessing is to acknowledge that God in his wisdom will give us the gifts that we need and the gifts that are truly good gifts for us, not just the ones that we want or the ones that we think might be good. We're called, as Abraham, to be blessed, to receive blessing. What would our lives look like this week, this month, this year if we had an increased expectation of God, the good Father, pouring out blessing into our lives. This leads to the fourth and the final call to Abraham in this passage. The blessing that Abraham is called to receive is for a purpose, and it's for the purpose that he would be a blessing. We sometimes use the phrase, blessed to be a blessing, receiving all of the good that God has for us. Even his very presence, that we might be conduits of that blessing to others. God's intention was always that Abraham and the nation that he fathered would receive God's blessing in order to give that blessing to the wider world. Indeed, our passage this evening says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Throughout their history, the people of Israel lost sight of this global God-given vision and became insular, became exclusive, became about them. While God was calling them to be pure and set apart, he was always calling them to be a blessing to the wider world. I wonder whether sometimes we as individuals or as the church universal fall into that same trap. We become exclusive and forget that we are called to be conduits of blessing. It's wonderful that the tagline for the plans that are set before you and will be set before you in more detail if you can make it tomorrow night, the tagline for that is blessed. Building to bless. Building to bless. The reality is that if we are going to build to bless, not just physically, but build our lives and our relationships and this community so that we can be a blessing, we need to first be the recipients of God's blessing, blessed to be a blessing. I don't know about you, but it kind of sounds good, but then there's something really childish and really infantile kicks in me. And I think, hang on a second, there's nothing quite like being given a present, a wonderful box of chocolates, being told that it's to share. And you think, oh great, well things sounded so hopeful, but now I've got to share these. But the reality is that to be called to be conduits of blessing is a privilege in itself. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, because servants don't know what the master is doing. Our motto text, if you were here this morning, or if you get the chance to listen back online, is all about being invited into God's vision for the world. And that's highlighted through dreaming dreams and through seeing visions and through receiving prophetic messages. God is inviting us to see the world as he sees it and to see the plans that he has for our lives, for this church, for this nation, and for this world. That is a wonderful invitation. God is saying to each one of us, see how it is that I intend to be a blessing, to bless the people of Beckenham, and see how it is that I'm calling you to be part of that. Rather than being asked to share something that we would rather keep for ourselves, being called to be a blessing is perhaps the highest calling and the greatest joy. I'm not a scientist, and if you are a scientist, please correct me gently, but I've heard it said that scientists believe that endorphins, the kind of the hormones that make you feel happy, actually, there's research to suggest that our bodies release more endorphins as we give than as we receive. I love that picture. Something in the makeup of human beings, something in the way that God designed us, is meant to find pleasure and meant to find joy more as we give than as we receive. And so we too, like Abraham, are not just called to receive blessing for ourselves, but are called to know the greatest blessing of being invited into God's mission, God's global mission, being conduits of that blessing to people in our communities, people in our workplaces, people in our families, people on the high street in Beckenham, people that we meet as we go along the road. God's call to Abraham is our story. We are called to live our Christian faith, to live our life in the light and in the shadow of this incredible call. Called to be followers, called to be family, called to be blessed, and called to be a blessing. Let's pray. God, we thank you that by faith in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves adopted into this wonderful family. This family for whom you have an eternal and far, far greater vision than we could ever imagine. So God, we ask that as we prepare to go from this place into all that you're calling us to do in the coming days and this coming week, would we be faithful in following you? Would we be faithfully committed to our sisters and brothers? Would we know more of what it is to receive the good that you have for us? And would you put us in positions, in opportunities where we can share that good, that blessing, for your glory and for your name's renown? Amen.